that way this morning.
Yes.
Let's just look at Jesus. Go ahead and take your seat. May the Lord bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. And may I remind you that Brother Branham told us that if God would have given him the ability to look over all the space and time and give him the choice of what hour he would come to the earth and live, Brother Branham said, I'd do it right now. And so I've said this many times in the past, the Lord help us to be able to see things the way Brother Branham was seeing it. And I'm certain that if we can see it through God's eyes, then we know that we're living in the most opportune time there is. Brother Daniel, it's the most opportune time for me because this is the hour that he brought me here.
That's right.
So this is what's before me. This is my walk, and this is your walk right now.
Yes.
Even with coronavirus, this is what he's called us to. He knew before the foundation of the world what was going to be going on. And so, the Christian believer, we've just got victory in the Lord.
Amen.
And outside of him, we don't have it.
That's right.
Amen. So he's the answer. So may the Lord bless you for being here this morning. And just keep everybody in prayer. Know that the Lord will keep his people. He's always done it. He's never failed. So we just want to get into the service this morning. I would say that welcome to Sister Rachel Deanhart. Good to have her with us again. And
it
sounds like she's going to be hanging around for a while. So praise the Lord. Amen. So we just want to thank the Lord for his blessings upon us. We're reading 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Greet all those that are streaming right now. I know that they would be here, but we've chosen to scale back everything just a little bit. Not that I'm real happy about that, but we're trying to be in the middle of the road and do what we should do, and then we leave the rest of it to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, just making a proclamation, Lord, that you are our hope and stay. And Lord, we're here gathered in your house to give honor to you, praise to you, and to give you opportunity to speak to our hearts. We want to honor you this morning, Lord, with everything that's going on in the world. We just want to keep you center focused, Lord, and that you would be able to just live through your people that which you desire to live in this hour with everything the way it is. We know, God, there is an expression that you want to express to your people. And so we're asking, God, that you'd grant to us the ability just to surrender ourselves this morning and get ourselves out of the way. And then as we leave service today, that we go forth as a people, just like we're reading about, a peculiar people. We thank you, Lord. We ask, God, that you be with us in this service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you this morning, titled this, A Higher Calling. Amen. You know, I know times seem real tough right now, and it is for a lot of people. But as we've said so many times, you know, this came across the Lord's desk. And there's nothing Satan can do unless the Lord allows it. And he is a tool in the hand of the Lord, Satan is. And so we know that God is having his way. We need to remember what the scripture said, and Brother Brown brought this out very clearly, is that John was carried over to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord was when God's having his way. Man's had his way and his time, but now it's God's time.
Yeah.
And that means God's going to fulfill everything that he said he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And it might be like raking the hide off of our skin, mm-hmm. right? It may feel that way, but we've got to hold that in center before us, that God is having his way. And I hope I got a little bandage on my finger. I hope that don't bother everybody. I tried to paint it brown a little bit with a marker this morning to match my skin, and it's already rubbed off a bunch. So anyway, I know little things like that distract people, and I don't really want it to, so try not to look at that. I'll try to keep it hid if I can. But God's going to have his way, and we have to remember that. And so, I would just say this. Perhaps this is a precursor to the real squeeze. Because this is not a squeeze on the bride. This is a squeeze on everything, everybody, right?
Right.
But perhaps this would give us a little bit. And if we feel like it's hard now when we have to just barely a few of us assemble here and do all the things we're doing, what about when the real thing comes? You know, because those spirits that were out there that did all the things, that's Satan's enemy, you know, they never repented. They can't repent. And they've got something in mind that they're going to try and accomplish. And so they, you know, as the scripture said, they didn't repent. And so, you know, they want to come after the believer. And the time will come when God is going to grant to them the ability to really put the squeeze on. Mm-hmm. And it'll be much worse than this. So let this be something, you know, that we can kind of take in preparation for that which we know will come eventually. And so God's not interested in trying to make us super comfortable in this life, even though he has promised to keep us. But, you know, when it comes time, if there's anything in this life that's holding us back, God's going to have to touch his finger to it, mm-hmm. right? And so we know that. Man, as a believer, as much as it would hurt, we want to say, Lord, let it be. Let it be whatever you've got to do to fulfill your word in our lives, let it be. Yeah, and right. So we do believe that.
Right.
You know, as the bride of Christ, while we're here, and while we haven't reached the body change yet, we are in a rapture process, but we haven't reached the body change, we are still coming out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. We're still doing that. We are still buying gold, tried in the fire, right? And white raiment that we would not be naked. Mm-hmm. We're still anointing our eyes with eye salve mm-hmm. that we can see, right? Because God's called us out of this generation and this age. So we're still doing that. We are still in the process of a third Exodus. We are, and so all these things still apply to us. These things that God has sent us to show us the parallels of the Scripture so that we can fortify ourselves that while we're in the midst of the battle, we can say, it's supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be rough times because the parallels have been given in the Scriptures. A prophet has come and given us a divine interpretation of the Word by God bringing these things to pass and him showing us that this is what it is, so it's supposed to be this way. And that should give us courage during times that are rough. And so all these things still apply to us. And so we want to talk about a higher calling this morning. You know, when you're a member, just in the natural, when someone is a member of a royal family, say, for instance, you're a prince and you're born as a son of a king, and one day you're going to be king of the domain. So, you know, as a member of the royal family, you can't live like the rest of the people of the kingdom.
Right.
You cannot live like the rest of the kingdom. You have different schooling, different upbringing,
right.
Different disciplines. You have disciplines that they know nothing about.
Yep.
Right? You have because why? Because you are part of the royal family and you're going to be in rulership someday. And you have to be taught and tried and tutored so that when the power is given to you, you won't abuse it. Like we see so much of,
right?
You won't abuse it. You'll be able to make right decisions so that the subjects beneath you, you are their protection. You are their keeper,
yep.
right? And so members of a royal family, someone who's of a higher calling, because the scripture said you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Mm-hmm. So when you're a member of a royal family like that in the natural, You have to settle it in your own mind. I can't be out there like the rest of the people of the world because if I live like them when it comes time for me to rule, I'm not going to have the discipline. I'm not going to have the thing. And so, therefore, those that are over me as teachers and tutors and watching over me as I come up, they have to take me a different route than the rest.
Right.
But what about God? What about his people? What about you being a member of his royal family?
Yeah.
You can't live like the rest of the world.
Right.
God has to call you away from that. And so so we know that that's correct. And there is a correct attitude that a person must have. You know, that child is going to be king someday. He has to have the right attitude because, you know, he could despise and say, why can't I go out there and play football with my buddies? Why can't I go out there and just hang around on Saturday night? And why do I have to do this? And why do I have to be so disciplined?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be so strict on me?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be that way? He could actually resent that. But when he has the right mindset as a leader, as someone coming up, knowing that there the things that are at stake, then he could not despise it, but know that it must be this way so that when his time arrives to step on the throne, that he'll do it right. He'll serve the people right, and they'll, you know, that kingdom will continue on and prosper on.
Right, right.
And it's the same way with the kingdom of heaven. See? God wants to put us on the throne with him. He wants to, because he's promised. But he's got to take us through a rough road. It can't be something simple.
Right.
It's got to be much different than the rest of the world. So the things that they do and the things they wear and the places they go and the things they watch, you can't do those things.
Right.
See? And so if a Christian will wrap the right mindset in his around his head there and in his thinking, then he would understand it must be this way for their sake. Because not everybody's going to sit on the throne. Not everybody's going to be on the top of the mountain.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some on the side of the mountain, some outside that bring their honor and glory in. And can't everybody be there, but somebody has to pay the price and be disciplined that they are worthy to sit up there for on behalf of all those outside.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be that way.
Right.
And so when you really get right down to it, if you say, you know, God, if you've called me to a higher calling, that's an honor.
Yes.
That's a rare thing. Few there be that find it.
Yeah.
It's rare. See? And not to despise it, and not to try and figure out ways to subvert the system that's got you in lockdown so much. Yeah, in discipline and not being able, not to try and get away from that and sneak out where you can do it anyway, all the things the rest of the world, but to submit yourself to that discipline. Knowing that in time to come, it'll make a difference.
Amen.
Not just for yourself and your family, but for the whole world around you, your whole kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so, we know that's how it works. So we have to have a correct attitude with those things. And so, you know, in the fall, and this morning I'm going to talk about circumcision a little bit, and you bear with me, but we know that in the fall was not an apple somebody ate. Or a apricot, or a pear, or a peach, or whatever they, and you know what? How gullible can people be? Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Think how ridiculous that is to think that you could eat an apple and it would cause the fall of humanity. That you could eat an apple and it would make you realize you were naked.
Yeah.
That's ignorant. It doesn't even fit. But yet people go with that.
Right.
See, and that's why you know. There is a spirit behind it to cause them to go with that. There's a push in the spirit realm of the enemy to get them to gobble down some false thing like that because he don't want them to know what the truth is. So it wasn't an apple or an apricot or something like that. We know that. It was the knowledge and the carrying out of that knowledge of sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Right.
See? And so, now I know this is kind of a little bit of an adult topic and we're all grown up enough here to know these things, but you know, we know how that this happened. We know what happened in the garden there, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of, you know, leave it up to you to catch what I'm trying to say between the lines as to what's going on here. And so it was the knowledge of and the carrying out the act of the sex and of a way to multiply and replenish the earth or, and so forth. Different than the spoken word, different than the spirit realm. It was a different realm that was given there. And so because of the fall, life became very hard upon the human race, Adam and Eve. It was cursed. Now, Adam and Eve themselves were not cursed. But, you know, Adam's the work, the toil of his hand. Cursed is the ground, for thy sake. Right? It'll bring forth all these thorns. So Adam's job to dress the ground and so forth became harder with thorns and thistles because of the fall.
Right, right.
He wasn't cursed, but his work was. And she was to be the helpmate, and there she was. She was going to bring forth children through the method that God would have. And what her purpose became harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll increase thy sorrow and thy conception. Right? So, but we find out that the serpent himself, he was cursed because God never curses his children, but he will curse someone who's not his children. And so he didn't curse Adam and Eve because they were his children, but the serpent, he was cursed. And so that shows you that he wasn't the lineage of Adam, right?
Because
if he would have been the lineage of Adam, then he'd have been of the family of God, and God couldn't have cursed his own. So you see, just little things like that to help you know more details about what happened there. But so life became harder because now Adam and Eve and all humanity had to now live in the fallen realm that was generated because of the fall. And so now fallen nature was in their flesh and would pass on from them to their offspring. Right? So now, because of the fall, now there lays within human flesh, within us, the things that match that fall. In other words, the very thing that took place there in that garden that caused the fall of man, now in all of us, in our flesh, is embedded the desire to repeat over and over and over and live by the thing that took place there.
Yeah.
But that wasn't what God wanted. That wasn't his original will. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. We were to live in a higher realm than that. And that's why we refer to it as the fall. Man fell from a higher realm to a degraded realm of doing things the way we've been doing it for so many thousand years. And so they had a fallen nature now within them, and it passes on to the children, passed on to you and I. And so we better be glad that over there in that dimension is nothing but divine love, because I might have a few things to say to Adam and Eve about this. And so would you. And you sisters would surely take Eve out behind the woodshed because of what she did and all the trouble that you've had, right? But that's, you know, that's what happened. That's what happened there in the garden. And it brought the fall to humanity. And so they fell from a higher position of fellowship with God, of holiness and in righteousness, and being able to meet God in fellowship without any shame, without any sorrow, without any fear. They fell from that into a realm where now we live dominated by the fallen flesh.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. So it only stands to reason that if that's what we fell from, if that was the way it was to begin with, and we fell from that to something lesser, fell from faith to works, from the spoken word being the way that God would create his family, to some fleshly thing, and to sorrow, as we fell from that, then it only stands to reason that if God would begin to get involved with man's life to bring them to redemption, that effect upon humanity would be calling humanity back from that fall, back toward that which they fell from. Right? So if we fell from those things which are right into living by the flesh, then it only stands to reason that when God would get involved in our lives, he would be trying to call us back from living by the flesh.
Right.
And so we wouldn't be running in excess of all the things that we find in fallen humanity.
Yeah.
That when God would get it, that's why I don't like these religious systems that tell people that you can be a Christian and you can be saved and live like the world.
Right.
Because you see, they are a people that they have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. They're denying the fact that there's a power of God that can separate you from the sinful things of the world and put a desire back in you to live for God and not run in the excess of the world.
Yeah.
Right? So they have a form of godliness. They worship, they do sacrifice like Cain did, and they have their church services and all that, but yet they deny the power of God to deliver.
Amen.
Right? And so if God would get involved in our lives, surely he's going to take us back to Eden. And we know he is because he's promised to.
Yeah.
But so when you can look at it and see that when God began to get involved in any person's life and his hand was upon them, his effect on them was pulling them away from living in the excess of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And living back toward the things of God. And so, we know that's what happened. And it stands to reason that that would be the way it is. And it is that way. God would call us out of living in the excesses of the flesh and call us back into righteousness and fellowship with him, where we're not dominated by the things the rest of the world are.
Right.
Amen. Now, we're still in flesh bodies. And Brother Bam tells us that, you know, at the beginning, we weren't supposed to wear clothes, right? But now we have to.
Yeah.
Because we as a people, we have to pay the price for the decisions we make. Right? When you sow something, the scripture says God is not mocked. If you sow something, you're going to reap it, and he is the Lord of the harvest. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that determines how much fruit you're going to get in that harvest. Mm-hmm. So if you sow bad seed, he's the one that says, well, I'm just going to let them suffer a little bit, or they're going to suffer a lot. See? But the point is, the scripture saying is, he's not going to be mocked. You're not going to do something, sow it, and think you're going to get by. It ain't happening, because he's going to make sure, because he's not going to be mocked, right? And so when we make decisions, and those decisions are the wrong decisions, you're not getting by with it.
Right.
Right? Now, he can save you. He can save you from your sin. He can save you from all these things. But still, you've got to walk that road of the decisions you've made.
Right.
Right? That's why so many men, they get hooked up with the wrong woman, because they don't pray and seek God.
Yeah.
And then when they get hooked up, their whole life is ruined. Their whole life is ruined because they didn't pray and seek God and have a revelation of who their wife was to be.
Right.
Because you know what the scripture says? What God has joined together, mm-hmm. let not man put asunder.
That's right.
When God joins a man and woman together, it's not going to be put asunder.
Right.
Right? And so, we have to reap what we sow. And so we still live in this flesh. And so the thing that took place in the garden there, we still reproduce that way. Mm-hmm. Right? Because of the fall.
Right.
But what I'm trying to show you here is that when that hell, when that fall happened and everything transpired, what came into human beings was not just a fallen way, but an excess of that. And that excess. And so we still have to live and eat and go to work, and we still have to toil. God hasn't removed that. He has saved us. He's promised to save us and promised to put us in a body that's later on that won't be subject to these things. But meanwhile, we have to walk this walk, and we still have to reproduce the way we do. But you see, God says, yeah, you can walk that way. You have to walk that way, but not in excess. Not to the fullness of the flesh, because I call my people back from that. And even though they still have to live according to the flesh in some ways, I call them back from the excesses of that. And what I have approved is righteousness.
Yeah.
A man and woman in marriage, that's righteousness. If it's before God and right. Yeah. But the excesses of the same thing. See, he calls us back from that, so we're called out of the world, the way the world lives, and they just go in excess and go as far as they want to, and anything goes. Mm-hmm. He's always called his people back from that,
yeah.
So that they don't live in the excess of the flesh and the fall of the humanity.
Right.
So, yes, we're still in human bodies, but he's called us back to a higher position. So when God called Abraham, first thing he told Abraham is that, Abraham, you're called out. You know, the word church means called out, right? You're called out. Called out from what? And every day, Abraham was the called out. Israel was the called out. The early church is the called out. And today, we are the called out.
Yeah.
Well, what was Abraham called out from? What was Israel called out from? What was the apostles in the early church called out from? And what are we called out from today?
Yeah.
See? And in every age, what he called us from is the excesses of the fall, back to where we only live according to that which he allows to be righteousness. And in that mode, while we're still here in this fallen realm, we have fellowship with one another, we have fellowship with God, and we hold the promise of the future of a changed body where we won't have to deal with these things anymore.
Yeah.
See? So we still have that. So when he called Abraham, he called him out. He said, Abraham, come out from where you live. And the place he lived was a land of many gods that were in idolatry. And you know, God is one God. I don't care what the rest of the world says. God is one God.
Right.
And he called Abraham out from having many gods, pulled him off over here to believe in one God.
Mm-hmm.
So he was called out. Called out in everything else. Now, yes, it's true that we are to worship God, but in excess they have all these gods, many gods, but he's one God.
Yeah, right.
So he calls him from that, calls him out from the things of the world into a a strict walk. Abraham could say, he could have despised it, but God, why can't I have all these other gods like everybody else does? Why can't I live like the others do?
Yeah.
See? But he knew that God was a holy God and it was a higher calling, and so God called him out, and he called him out, and then he gave to Abraham the sign of circumcision. It was a seal. It was a sign. Now, a circumcision is a permanent mark. Not just a mark that lasts a day or two and then you have to recircumcise. Circumcision to the male is permanent.
Right.
This speaks of what true circumcision is. It is permanent. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep.
And so God, when God began to get involved with someone's life, he calls them out from the world and he says, by the way, you must be circumcised.
Yep.
And so circumcision speaks of what happened there in the garden. Right?
Yeah.
Read between the lines.
Right.
Circumcision, the thing that took place, God put his touched that and said, we've got to deal with it. And your sign, the sign that you're going to have in your flesh, is going to speak to that which happened in the garden.
Right.
And so circumcision is the cutting away of excess flesh. See what that's showing you? That here in the fall we come down, but God is going to call us to pull away from the excesses. And so circumcision was a sign of pulling away from the excess of the thing that happened in the garden in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what I mean is coming back to that which God recognizes as righteousness. But it speaks of the whole fall of humanity. That when God would give his covenant to you, the very thing that's going to happen in your life, you're going to bear the mark of circumcision. We're going to get into the spiritual side of it, but you're going to bear the mark of circumcision, which is going to show that you're not going to live in the excesses that, like the world does, of the thing that happened in the garden. Because everything out there is all about the woman and the nakedness and the female and the physique and living by the flesh, and if it feels good, do it, and anything goes.
Yeah, right.
And you know, God's word, he calls us from that.
Yeah, right.
Right? So circumcision, when he got involved with Abraham's life, right off the bat, you can see that God had called him out from the world and put a mark upon him, showing that he was heir to a promise that was taking us back toward Eden, away from the things of the world. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I hope you understand what I mean by that. So, it's a cutting away of the excesses of the flesh. So, yeah, we have to eat. And if we're going to have children, we have to do that the way that we did the fall. Right? But we don't have to live like the world.
That's right.
See?
Right.
We're not going to live like the world.
Amen.
So, we thank the Lord because he helps us see these things. So the circumcision is a sign that they're going to live less to the pleasing of the flesh. And that's it. God calls us to live not to the fullness of pleasing of the flesh, but to buffet our flesh, if you want to say it that way. So now today, true circumcision is in the spirit, in the heart. She'll bring Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. We'll see that when you're familiar with this. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not of letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, you know, in the natural, it can be physically demonstrated whether someone has been circumcised and would show whether they were in the promise, because no man in his right mind would volunteer to be circumcised. Not at all. You'd be insane as a grown person to say, you know what?
Right.
But circumcision was done on the eighth day, and eighth day represents eternity.
Right.
Because this is what circumcision is. It's taking us back to eternity.
Right.
And that's why it was done. So much that even if that fell on the Sabbath, they circumcised anyway on the Sabbath, because that had higher preeminence than the Sabbath did. Right? So they would circumcise on the Sabbath if that was the eighth day from when the child was born.
Yeah.
Because that's highest, that's the highest form, that's the preeminence there, is circumcision. And so, if you remember whenever they were going to stone Stephen, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears." And they knew what he was talking about, because they were physically Jews. They had the physical mark on their flesh that they were circumcised, right?
Yeah.
But he said, "Ye stiff-necked." In other words, you won't look to something different to see if God's doing something else. You've got your own way that you're looking at, and you're not willing to turn your head and look. "Ye stiff-necked."
Yeah.
And uncircumcised at heart and ear. Because you see there now, so that when someone who's not circumcised in heart and they're not circumcised in their ears, then they only hear certain things, and they're not going to hear the truth, and they're going to be limited. See, and that's what he was saying. You are stiff-necked, you're uncircumcised, hard of ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost. When he's trying to move, you don't hear it,
yeah,
right?
Right.
You don't believe it. You don't receive it. You won't believe it in your heart and be converted, see? So that's what he was showing there. And so we must begin to realize that if a person is not truly circumcised in heart, then it's going to affect their life. But if they truly are circumcised in heart, if they truly are born again, then it affects everything about what you see and what you hear and how you process everything. You are now can be a receptor of truth in its fullness, because now you're in that mode, you see. And so we find out that it's very important that people must be circumcised in their hearts.
Amen.
Brother Branham tells us in Israel in the church, he says, and that's where we are, that's what we're doing today. That's where the holiness churches are failing. We've got so much time, and the Lord has given us a lot of money, and we're building great buildings and churches and big spires and putting plush seats and pipe organs and until we forget the seal of God, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. True. He said, God send us some Zipporahs. He was talking about how that, he said, look at where a man can get to. That Moses was going to go down and to deliver, but Moses had forgotten to circumcise his sons. Mm-hmm. Right? And he was going to head down there, and his own wife did the circumcision and threw the foreskins at his and said, "You're a bloody man, a bloody husband."
Yeah, that's right.
And see, and Brother Branham said, you know what he said? God, that Zipporah saved his life.
Yeah.
God, that's what he said. That Zipporah saved Moses' life, mm-hmm, by doing that. He said, because he was so caught up in everything else, he forgot what he was supposed to be doing. And so Brother Ram was saying, God send us some Zipporahs. Why? Because we're all worried about building things and doing things and building big churches and all that, and we forgot the real thing.
Yep.
And the real thing is the circumcision.
Right.
The real thing is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The real thing is a new birth, something that actually will take you from now on. Satan can't stop it. Once you get that. Why? Because it's a circumcision. It's a sign that never goes away.
Right.
It's permanent. Mm-hmm. How many would like to have an experience with God that you know there's nothing Satan could ever do to erase it?
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's a real, genuine birth from God. That's what we want. He said, God, give us some Zipporahs. That's right. Circumcision. And he said, every male in Israel that wasn't circumcised was cut off. And the circumcision was the seal of the promise, and the circumcision of the Old Testament is the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the New. And every man outside of baptism of the Holy Ghost will be cut off, and there you are, God be merciful. So Brother Adam is telling us that. So you find out that all along God has called his people to be, called them to a higher calling, to call them out, call them into a place where they can live only by God's help. They can live in a place that the rest of the world can't live without a birth, without a new birth. So he calls them to a higher calling, and we have to have the correct attitude, like I said a little while ago, about a royal family, to say, you know, Lord, you know what's best, and though this might be an uncomfortable time for us, we could be saying, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this coronavirus wreck our economy? Why are jobs in jeopardy? Why is it such a struggle? Because if that's what he needs to put his hand to get us spiritually where we need to be, then that's what we want.
Right.
And a believer will say that. You know, as the scripture said that our parents would whip us, our fathers would whip us according to their own desire, you know, to correct us or whatever, but we should, you know, and he says no chastening at the time is pleasant, mm-hmm. right? But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. So to have the right attitude to understand that no matter what God will take us through, he never takes us backwards. If he does a change in your life, it is for your betterment. It is not a decision he makes that makes it worse and takes it backwards for you in your walk with him. Mm-hmm. See, when we say, we see a lot of churches, they'll have it says, be still and know that I'm God.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what we have to do in times where things are rough and when that squeeze comes and everything, we have to be still and know that he's God and know what he's doing.
That's right.
And as long as we're serving him, he's going to take care of us, as I quoted last week.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Brother Branham, he tells us in The God of This Evil Age, he takes it, he groups the whole thing together. The religious system that has, remember Abraham was called out from many gods, a religious system that believes in many gods, and mixes that with science and with worldlyism, and it's all, and he calls it the God of This Evil Age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all, he lumps it all together because it's a religious system that believes all the things that are contrary to the word of God. They live like the world. You can't tell them any different because they are a world, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just a false hybrid religious system. And so he groups them all together in that, and that's what we're called out of.
Mm-hmm.
We are called out of systems that believe things are contrary to the word. We are called out of lifestyles that are repeating what happened in the fall in the garden.
Right.
We're called out of all those things like that, and we're called out of the influence of the world. We're called out of living that way, and we are called out of the influence of that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know we live in this world, and you have to rub shoulders with things. I understand that. God knows that too. But you see, last time I noticed, we control what we set before us to eat.
Right.
See? And so we don't have to feed on what they feed on, and we don't have to go the places they go. We don't have to have the mentalities they have. And what I want to show you, Lord willing, this morning is it's more critical than what people realize what they're subjecting themselves to.
Right.
And so we can't live and eat the things that they do, because you know what you eat affects you physically,
right.
And what you eat spiritually affects you. And so he put it all in the same group and said, you know, that's what we're called from. Come out of her, my people. A system like that just, you know, science rules mm-hmm. to them. Science rules.
Right.
You know? And, you know, for all the officials that run the world, run the nation and so forth, you know, God don't even come into the picture.
Yeah,
right. You know? They're trying to look at this coronavirus, and you know, and it seems interesting to me that say they live like the world, live like the devil, and then in hard times they say, "Oh, let's pray."
Uh huh. That's right.
And God said, "I'll laugh at your calamity."
Right.
Now God's still got a people that's His.
Right.
Right. He's not laughing at their calamity. Right. He's going to help them and keep. And it doesn't mean they won't go through rough times. But you see, that the world has spurned mercy.
That's right.
And we can't get caught up into thinking that, oh, there's going to be some great worldwide or nationwide revival. It's not going to happen. And if you don't believe it, just lay it up on the shelf. And if we're here 50 years from now, what of it? Because you're going to find out. I've been around long enough to see it's going exactly the direction that Brother Brim said it was. Because they gave up their day of mercy and grace, and now it's judgment. And that's just it. So what's going on out here, that's all they know to do. That's all they can do because that's their realm. But we're not called to that. We're called out of that.
Uh-huh.
We're called to believe. And that's why I was telling someone the other day, you know, like, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, you know, we sanitize our hands and we do all this thing and all that. But that's not, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not going to tell people not to do that. But what I'm saying is God's promise goes beyond that. And when you've done all that you know to do to live, you know, peacefully with all men and abide by all the things, but once you get beyond that, in reality, we know God is the one that keeps us.
Yeah, right.
If he doesn't keep us, we won't be kept.
That's right.
Right? And so that's where we live. And we don't want to be pulled down back into the thinking that I forgot to sanitize my hand 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Big deal. Yeah. Believe God. Right. Do what you're supposed to when you remember, but when you forget, when you find yourself in a circumstance that's not ideal, don't worry about it. If somebody walks up to you, Brother Daniel, and grabs your hand and shake it, don't start crying. He wouldn't, but I'm just saying, commit it to God.
Right.
Because we live for Him, and no matter what comes our way, He's going to take us through.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe that. And so we want to arm ourselves with that kind of thinking in an hour that we're in, because it is a serious hour, and it's a lot of suffering out there. This is a time, as I said the other day, for Christians to be real Christians. And so, when Elijah was to come in this day, what do you think he's going to say? He's going to have to address what he addressed. Mm-hmm. He has to. Why? Because God still has a people that's a called out people.
Right.
So we see now when Brother Branham came, and he, with a commission of God through his ministry coming forward to bring a message, to bring the Lord, to bring the seven seal opening. And after God opened the seven seals through that ministry, the very next thing God gave us after the opening of the seals was the token. And so recently, as reading Romans with my family, went through Romans, and I was pointing out to them, you know, the book of Romans covers the plan of redemption from start to finish. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but Romans starts out and he says, man has fallen, and here's why he's fallen. And this is what he can go to when he falls. When he doesn't honor God and keep God before him, begins to make God something less than what he is, then this is the thing that can happen. Mm-hmm. And it did. And so he says, that's Romans 1. He says, man has fallen, and then he says, and even though they're circumcised in the natural, even they fall too. You're not going to be a judge of somebody and you do the same. Mm-hmm. Right? So he says, man's fallen. Here's why they've fallen. The Jews, they are too. And then he goes from that into, we're justified by faith. So he's going back and he's saying, you're all fallen, but here's how you're going to be saved. So he says, the just shall live by faith. And then he goes into sanctification. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he starts talking about a sanctified life. Then by the time he gets to chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that have the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. That's not the way he said it, but I'm saying that to you so you understand. So he takes us and says, all humanity, including the Jews, here's how you can justified, sanctified, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then he starts talking about how he's going to turn back to the Jews, because that's exactly what he is going to do. Yeah. So he brought the New Testament church who were lost through justification, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, through those stages, and then he goes back to the Jews.
Yeah.
And then after he's done with that, when Paul's talking to Romans, after he gets done with that, then he says, seeing that this is the way it is, this is the way we need to live. In the last couple of chapters, 2-3 chapters, he talks about, here's the way you need to live towards your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
So Brother Ram comes along, and here's 7 church ages. You go back, and he brings us through history of what the church ages are, just like Paul was doing, see? Brings us through that, then comes to the opening of seals, and says, now, since this is the way it is, here's the way we need to live, the token.
Yeah, that's right.
The token life. So he's made it very clear. We live in a different time for the believer.
Right.
We live in the hour of the token. It could not have been applied until evening time. And now God has shown that the evening time message has come. Mm-hmm. We're at Laodicea, and he said, if you'll come in and allow me to sup with you, then I'll let you sit and sup as the last meal of the day. So it's the last church age, last one before a changing of the day.
Yeah.
Right? Evening time meal, last meal before a change to a new day, and our new day is eternity. Mm-hmm. So here we are. It's the evening time message, there's got to be a token. And so that token message there is a thing, what? That prepares you for the going away. It prepared us, like I said in the beginning, we're still in a third exodus. So it prepares us to get it gets us ready to go. So if the token is not resident in our life, how can we go? If it's not there, how can we go in a body change and rapture if we don't let these things that God has committed to us, if that is not what begin to rule our life and to lead us and guide us? And so, what am I saying? That God has, again, in this hour, there is a token life, and it is, token life is nothing else than circumcision of the heart on display. What it is. The true circumcision, which is of the heart, in this hour, is to cut you away from what everything else in the world is doing.
Right.
To cut you away from that. To get that kind of influence, because if that's what you're feeding on, and that's the thing that's going through your mind, it's going to have an effect in your future. So God says, that, and this is why Brother Branham, when he says we're going to apply the token, he's the one. Now listen, the messenger of the age, right? God's vindicated prophet that brought these things, that God sent him through him. He said, he's the one that said this. We're going to apply the token and we're going to clean up our homes and clean up our lives, right? He's the one that made the connection. Because, you know, we would say, well, Brother Branham, how do we apply the token? I mean, what does this flesh out? What does it become when you're talking about in applying the token? How does that go on display? What is that? And so he begins to tell us, we're going to apply the token, and we're going to clean up this place around here. And he says, we're going to get all the shorts, right? I guess I could just read it. I have it here, so... He said, believe on the Lord, you and your house. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to the house. And then what do you do when you apply to the house? You move all the trash out. You know, trash to me is stinky. So he says, you move all the trash out, because trash is not becoming of civilized people to live in trash.
Right.
So you move all the trash out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts, the cards, the cigarettes, the televisions, and what more, and kick them out the door. You're going to apply the token. We won't stand for it. Take it all out. All the dances and parties, rock and roll, and vulgar newspapers and stuff of the world, kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning up this place around here. Like Jacob, like he told his wife, he said to all them, he said, wash your clothes and everything, and put away the gods. Amen. And you know what Joshua did? Joshua said, before they crossed over, he said, wash your clothes, come not at your wives, and so forth. Get ready, for within 3 days we're crossing Jordan. Amen. He was getting ready. He was applying a token. Amen. That's it. And so Brother Ben was telling us here that you apply the token to get this stuff out and get this influence away from us. Why? Because we're getting ready to go. And so if we are still bombarded with the things of the world, and that's what we think about, and that's where we go, and that's what we're eating spiritually, then we're not going in an exodus.
Right.
So he's telling us very clearly, if you want to go in this exodus, you've got to apply the token. And the token is none other than circumcising the excess things of this world out of your life.
Right.
That's what it is. Amen.
Right.
So to get rid of those things. Because if we're not doing that, if we're still feeding on those things, then it affects us in our spirit realm.
Okay.
Because now what God is saying is you must, as it's been in every day, but it's come to a full-fledged thing in this day, is to circumcise your heart and your spirit away from the things in the spirit realm, like also in the natural realm. So he says to get rid of all those things. So all the things that the world feeds on, all the actions they take, and all the mentalities that they have, the mentalities of false religions, of anything contrary to the word, they just accept it. All those things, we're not to be partakers of that. We're not to let those things go through us and be what is our guide. And so he's telling us, as it has been in every day, to not live in the excesses of the flesh, excesses of the world. And so listen, we're called out. I said a while ago, what is the bride called out of? And she's called out of more than just the Pentecostal age.
Right.
She's called out of more than just not living by sensation. We have to live by the word, not by how we feel.
Right.
not by how we're treated or not treated by people. We are to live by the word. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you've got, and I may have said this in many ways, but if you've got an enemy and you're fighting an enemy, and you're going to destroy him and he's trying to destroy you, is there any weapon, if he had any weapon he could get his hands on to use it on you and think it might work, do you think he wouldn't use it? He will use everything he can to get you.
Right.
If he can trick your mind, if he can make you believe something wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whatever he can throw at you, he's going to do it. So what does that tell you? That if we are, as he has told us, we will become an invincible army. An invincible army, that means that if Satan throws a lie at us, we won't believe it.
Right.
If he tries to trick us, we won't fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
If he tries to pervert the word, it's not going to work. See? And this is where we come to. So if we live by emotions, he's got you.
Yeah.
If we live by intellect and the way we can figure out, he's got you. See? God's moving us into a realm where we're not going to live by emotions, not going to live by intellect. We're going to live by the word and the word alone. And if the word doesn't say it, we're not going with it.
Right.
See? And that's where he's bringing us. So the word is circumcising all the thoughts and mentalities and the feeding of the world away from us, because we're called to a higher position and there's a lot at stake, just like it would be for a royal family. And so what we feed on matters. Mm-hmm. You know, in the natural, this is another thing, just like I said a while ago, for people to think that you can eat an apple and it's going to open your eyes. It's, you know, but now think about it. What you eat, when you eat something and you go for years eating things that maybe is not good for you, and you don't know it right up front, and here's the way it happens. At some point, one day, you wake up and you realize, oh, I don't feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a bad shape. And it's been because of all these years of eating wrong things,
right,
and not taking care of myself. That's natural, right? And so one day they wake up and they can't just say, oh, I changed my mind. No, the damage is done.
Right.
See? And it's the same way spiritually. That if we feed on things of the world, and we won't know it up front. Oh, it's so much that it's bad or whatever. Now, if you're a Christian, you should know. But my point is that if you're feeding on things of the world and just keep on and keep on, and it's just, you get drawn into it, the next thing you know, one day you wake up, and you go, oh, I didn't realize it was affecting me the way it was, but it's too late.
Right.
So Brother Branham tells us, he says, the world is going insane. And he said, the time will come when they believe that they're going to see ants as high as 14 trees and birds with wingspans of how many miles apart. Hideous creatures. Brother Branham said, they're going to see hideous creatures, and these things are going to rise up. And he said, it's going to torment them. And so he's telling us, if you're a student of the message, you know this, that they're going insane. And why are they going insane? He says, now, we're eating hybrid food that's tearing down our bodies. Doesn't it tear down the brain cells too?
Mm-hmm.
So there's one thing. It's the hybrid physical things that does this to our bodies and to our brains. But what about the hybrid spiritual stuff? What does it do to our spirit psyche?
Right.
Right? And it's taken the world into insanity. And I tell you, look out there and just look at the things that they argue over, you know, right? Argue to allow abortion, but throw a man in jail if he has a wreck and kills a woman with a baby and charge him with two murders.
Yeah.
But yet they, insanity. But it's going to go worse than that, okay? It's going to go worse than that because the Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us, that, you know, Satan's going to do all this work, and then when he who letteth, when he's taken out of the way, and when Brother Ben talks about when the Lord, when the church, when the rapture comes, when he's taken out of the way, when Christ is taken in a rapture and takes his bride with him, that influence of Christ in the world, when that goes away, then Satan can move in the fullness of what he's wanting to do,
yeah.
Right? And bring what we refer to as tribulation period and so forth. But you see, people feeding on things of the world, and it's actually taking them toward insanity, but they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually are reaching a point of insanity, and in the presence of God, it's not so bad. The presence of the Holy Ghost still in this earth, still not so bad. The presence of God's children, his bride, still not so bad. But as soon as they're gone, what happens to the mindset of the world at that point? It plummets. And so at that point, they're going to usher into a mentality where they're totally insane, where they see these creatures that are hideous, that are going to torment them. They're going to see it. And I was listening to a sister's testimony. She said she went, after Brother Branham was preaching on that, she went to a restaurant. She went by his table and she said, "Brother Branham, you said, you know, they would be birds with 14 mile wingspans or whatever." And she said, "Will that be real?" And he said, "Sister, it'll be real to them." How many's ever watched something years ago? Maybe we know that you don't let a little child see some hideous thing because they'll have nightmares. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah.
See? Because there's channels that you can connect to that brings world and this degrading mindset and then the spirit realm into us, and we're feeding on that and feeding on that, and we think it's okay. Oh, it's no big deal. It's no problem. But someday that thing that we thought was entertainment is going to be devils before us.
Mm-hmm.
This is why Brother Ram said, "Get rid of this stuff."
Right.
Right? That's what he said. Hideous creatures. And so, you know, if you look at it nowadays with all the electronic computerized generation and stuff, and if they think of it, they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what Brother Graham said. He said, when they have all those hideous creatures and they're going to see all that and scream and cry, mm-hmm. he said, the televisions are producing it for them.
Right.
So, listen, don't take it light. This prophet told us, televisions are injecting into their mind the very thing that someday, when Christ leaves, is going to be hideous creatures that's going to torment them in insanity.
Yeah.
The televisions put it in there. Now, he talked about televisions then, but I'll tell you that this right here is just as bad and even worse.
That's right.
Than television. And it all comes down to whether a person can control things. I understand that. But Brother Bram didn't say, "Well, if you can handle it, go ahead and keep it in your life." He tells us. And so where I'm getting to this is that every one of us have a responsibility to assess our own life and to step up higher and to remove from us the things that we know are a problem.
Right.
Because each one of us individually are going to stand before the Lord. Each one of us are going to be by ourselves come rapture day. And accountable for our own stewardship. Because, you know, when a person comes to maturity as a mature being, they're supposed to be able to order their life properly.
Yeah.
And this church is being brought up to the full measure of the stature of Christ, to a perfect being. And that perfect being ought to know how to order themselves from day in and out. And that person ought to be able to identify something that's a problem in their life that's keeping them from being everything they can be for God. And to remove that of their own accord.
Right.
Your mom can't move it. Your dad can't move it. Your brother, your sister can't move it. You have to move it
right.
By choice.
Mm-hmm.
See? But here a prophet is telling us that if we feed on things of the world, if we let that stuff in us, it's going to affect us. And someday, it's going to keep us from going in the rapture because it's held us back.
Yeah.
But also, can become hideous things like the world. And I know it's talking about the world there. There's a difference between God's people and the world. But so he tells us these things. So we all have this responsibility to rise higher, to follow this higher calling and let God clean our houses up for us and us to, you have to do it by choice, but to apply the token in our lives. And so can you be sure? I've always said this. When Easter comes around to me, I always think of Easter morning being the rapture morning. I always look highly forward to that on Easter morning, that might be the day
yeah.
that God comes to us. And not trying to say, I'm just saying, it always just seemed like that would be fitting. How wonderful that would be for the Lord to just snatch us right out of here on Easter morning.
Right.
Because it's always such a special day to us. And we don't know that, but can you be sure that that's not what's coming? Can you be sure that this thing that's going on right here, right now, this coronavirus, are we certain that this is not the thing that makes this nation sign in papers with the Catholic Church? These things that Brother Branham told us are coming. Yeah. They are on the move. We're not going to sow something else and bypass it. This is actually coming down the road. And we as Christians, we want to be comfortable with God's movement, no matter how rough it gets. I'm saying this to say, if you're lagging behind, if you've got something in your life that you know is influencing you in the negative, you're responsible. It's been preached to you by a prophet, by your minister standing here. You're responsible to address that in your life and to move it. Right? Because if you don't, you're the one that's going to have to stand there and grit your teeth when you miss it. You see what I'm saying? The wailing and gnashing of teeth, Brother Branham, was tribulation period.
Right.
See? So it's time for all of us to assess and say, where am I at? What's going on in my life? And you know, if you say, you know, I know God has spoke to me in the past, and I tried to move this out of my life, and then I've let it back in again, and you know that's over and over and over. You know that's a battle. That's something you've got to address and put that thing behind you. Amen. So we each have a responsibility to take inventory, remove the excess of this world out of our lives. A true circumcision of the heart will do that.
Right.
It'll be a battle because this is what you live in. Just imagine a fish in a fishbowl swimming, and the water is the world. It touches you all over.
Yeah.
See? But you don't have to turn into the water. Right? You don't have to. And water in the Bible represents peoples.
Yeah.
And when Jesus came walking on the water, when all those disciples were out there and they were in the midst of all the people and everything they were doing, and I'm going to say it this way to try and get the point across to you. When they were in that boat and Jesus has said, you're going to go to the other side, the water's not going to sink you. But they're out there and the waters, it's all going nuts, and the waters are just splashing to and fro, and they're all panicky because of the coronavirus, and it looks like the economy's crashing and all that. And the disciples should have had faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came walking to them.
Right.
In that condition. Yeah. All that stormy people just to and fro, tossing to and fro with the storms. He's just walking right along, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he's still master in the storm.
Yeah.
And he still said, we're going to go over.
Right.
Right? And so he comes to them and comes up in the boat. And scripture said immediately they were on the other side. One place said there, immediately they were there on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll find out that if you entertain the Lord and get these other things out, he'll come to you in these rough times. And one of these days, he'll come to us in a rough time, and all of a sudden, when he steps into the boat, we're going to realize we're on the other side.
Yeah.
But for those who don't, all of a sudden, you're going to realize the thing that I had thought was entertaining me was really a devil in disguise.
Yeah.
An enemy that was sent in to trick me, and now that he's got me, there I am. See, that's the way it is. So, you know, the Lord's going to take his people from here, and he's going to allow Satan to have just a little bit of a time on this earth controlling. We know that. And, you know, when anytime there's war and a nation is defeated, they know when that invading army comes in, they know it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what those armies do to those people. And so when the Lord takes his people and he goes in a rapture, you know it's not going to be good when Satan and his invading army get to do whatever they want for a while. You know it's not going to be good. So you don't want to be here. And a lot of times when our country has been in war and places like that and they were being overcome, they would evacuate their soldiers out before the enemy got in there because they knew what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And And God has sent us a great big helicopter, as it were, of the Word to evacuate us out of this earth before Satan has his heyday. Not that he's defeated, that God's defeated, because he's not. This is his plan. But he's got a great big helicopter, as it were, that will pull you out. But you know, he can't gather us all up and put us on that helicopter when we got all this extra baggage that's going to hold it down, because the copter can't go. And nobody's going to be left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Not all his people will take him. But you got to get rid of your extra baggage.
Right.
You got to get rid of the world. Because it can't go with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take to that other dimension worldliness, influence of the world, thoughts of the world,
right,
their way of processing and judging. You can't take it. So we've got to let the Holy Spirit get those things out of us. And let this be the time. This is a good time, because everything's different now. Everything's different in the world. And a lot of you probably have a lot more time now than you had in some way. Some do. For me, I'm still having to work. Matter of fact, we went to 10-hour days. But only four. So it's still 40 hours, which are long days. But on a given day, I don't have hardly any free time, because it's such long. So there's things I'm not able to do on those days. But a lot of you probably find yourself with a lot more time, because you can't run and you can't go and you can't do and you can't. And this would be a good time to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To regroup as a family, to regroup as yourself, to search your heart, to seek out the things that are in your heart. This is a good time to do that. And rededicate yourself to the Lord and be ready for this evacuation. And that's what you have to do. And I believe God has been merciful to the whole world, to us especially, to give us this time where we can use it. And you want to, no matter what happens, you want to use the time that the Lord has given you to the advantage of his kingdom and to the advantage of what your walk is with him. Amen. I believe that.
Yeah.
How many despises the higher calling? I don't. A lot of times it's rough, but it is an honor for the Lord to reveal the things to us that he, and also through us, that he has done.
Right.
It is an honor. Amen. And it's an honor to be able to fellowship with those of like precious faith to believe such things that God has done in this hour. So may the Lord richly bless you. Let Brother Tim come up. We'll bow our heads to him just for a moment of prayer. This will be a good time just to ask the Lord to help you. If you've got things, you know, that you need to straighten up, you repent of it. Ask God to take those things from you. But just always remember this. It's by free choice. He'll lead you. He'll speak to you. He'll prod your heart. But you've got to make a choice to take a hold of what you've heard and put it in place in your life. And then you'll have character. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service, we're just asking God that these things that have been spoken, that you would lay it to the heart of all your people, all your believers, Lord. And God, that through your great Holy Spirit, that you can brood over that in each person's life in whatever way they need it, and that they would benefit, Lord, from the things that they've heard today. We're asking, Lord, that you would take this message that you've given us, Lord, and just make it come alive in our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for just being intervening, Lord, that you could have left us here in this hour and didn't come our way, but you did, and you brought truth to us. And we ask, God, that you just allow us and help us to embrace these truths and put them into action. Lord, give us courage to stand up and take everything that exalts itself against you and just cast it to the ground. That's what your church does. They cast down reasoning, cast down unbelief, and rise up into the higher calling that you've given us. We love you, Lord, and I just pronounce this blessing on all that are listening, all that are here. Ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand and sing a song of worship. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
If you have need of prayer, Brother Daniel, I'll be happy to pray with you. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming out today.